Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show, and I'm your host, Virginia Ashbery. Our featured story tonight on Life Rattle number 1289 is titled A Heater and a Fan, written and read by Rosa Veltri. Rosa Veltri was born in Toronto in 1976, the youngest of three and the only daughter. Her parents, both born in Italy, married before coming to Canada in 1971. Rosa grew up in Mississauga, where she also worked part-time all through high school, and her experiences formed the basis for the story we are going to hear this evening. Veltri graduated from the University of Toronto in 1999. Veltri writes in a direct, unadorned prose style. She avoids comment or melodrama. She lets the characters' own actions and words reveal themselves and the undercurrents in their enclosed and tense little world. So let's listen now as Rosa Veltri reads her story, A Heater and a Fan. And you're listening to Life Rattle from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And please note, some of our stories on Life Rattle contain language and situations that some people may find offensive.
A Heater and a Fan by Rosa Veltri. I walked down Camilla Road to the Queensway, crossed the street, and stared at the wooden panels that connected to form the fruit market. I watched cars weave in and out of the packed parking lot. Mike and Joanna, the owners, pulled up in a cherry red Cadillac. I looked across the street and saw Adita and Wioletta stepping off the 3B bus. Adita and Wioletta waved to me as I waited for them to cross the street. Adita wore a long purple and black polyester skirt and gray running shoes. Wioletta wore the pink jogging suit with the flowered collar that she had worn for the past week. Adita, Wioletta, and I walked into the fruit market, put on our aprons, and punched in. Mike's voice filtered through the store. "Pick this shit up from the floor!" Annie held a broom and stared at a dustpan near her feet. "Are you stupid or something? Leaving a pile of dirt in the middle of the store like that?" Mike turned to walk away. Annie clenched the broom handle. "I was gonna pick it up. I just..." Mike wheeled to face Annie. "Clean this shit up right now." Mike glared at Annie. Annie bent down and swept the dirt into the dustpan. Mike walked away. Annie dropped the dustpan and ran to the washroom crying. Kelly swept the dirt into the dustpan, dumped the dirt into a garbage bag, and ran after Annie. Daryl and Frank stepped out of the back room. Frank tugged on my shirt. Wioletta and Adita walked to the deli. Daryl pointed his chin to me. "What happened to Annie?" Mike yelled at her for not sweeping up a pile of dirt fast enough. Daryl shook his head. "What an asshole that fucking guy is. You know what that fucking asshole said to me when I asked him for a raise? Says he has to think about it, and I haven't seen one fucking cent. Asshole. Knows my wife's pregnant. How am I supposed to support a kid and a wife on fucking $10 an hour? If I could, I'd fucking..." "Daryl, Mike's still around, eh?" Frank interrupted, then winked at me. "Plus, Rosa doesn't want to hear your bitchin'." Daryl muttered something and walked back into the back room. I walked to the bakery. Simon, one of the stock boys, shaved his head over Christmas. It grew back spiky and without direction. His head surfed the cans of sauerkraut and bounced up and down as he mopped the floor. He was skinny, and his pants ended 3 inches above his ankles. Simon turned the corner into the bakery aisle, leaned his mop against the bun bin, and walked toward me. He turned his head to the left, and then to the right, and pushed his glasses up with his index finger. "So, what do you think about a union?"
"A union?"
"Yeah, I'm gonna start a union."
"You interested?"
"Can you do that? Can you start a union just like that?"
"Well, I have to get people's signatures first."
"I'll sign."
"That's cool, but I really need the full-timers to sign, too. You're pretty close to some of the older deli ladies. Maybe you could talk to them about it. Sure, but they're going to ask me what they get out of it. Do you know what the union offers? No, not yet, but I'm looking into it. I got lots of ideas. Maybe we could ask for full benefits and paid lunches. I don't know how you've put up with this place for so long. How long have you worked here? 3, 4 years? That's nuts. Man, it would be so cool to stick it to that mic. So far, I've got 3 full-time signatures. Me, Katrina, and Joyce. And 5 part-timers. Well, 6 if you sign. I thought you were part-time. How do you go to school and work here full-time? I don't go to school. I dropped out. They were trying to institutionalize me. Conform me. You know what I mean? I'm working here for now. In the spring, I'm working at this organic farm. Organic farm? Yeah, everything's grown naturally. Do you know how many chemicals you're eating by buying the vegetables from this store? Pesticides. God knows what else. We heard someone walking down the aisle. Anyway, we're meeting with the union guy tonight at 7:30. You want to come? Sure. Where? Simon gave me directions and then continued mopping the floor. Frank walked into the bakery. You almost done here? Yeah, I just have to take out the garbage. Was Simon bothering you? Frank looked at Simon, because I know that kid's a little weird. No. All right, we'll hurry up. He walked out of the bakery. Some of us want to go home. It was 7:42 when Christine and Sarah dropped me off in front of the long, brown building. Okay, so explain to me one more time while we're dropping you off here and picking you up later. This guy Simon I work with is trying to start a union. They're having a meeting tonight, and I want to hear what they have to say. A union? What do you care about a union? I thought you were quitting at the end of the summer. I am, but I told Simon I'd pass by. I don't know. I kind of want to hear what it's all about. Okay, well, we'll go get the tickets for the movie and meet you back here. But you better come out when I honk, because I don't want to be late for the movie. I stepped out of the car and watched Christine and Sarah drive away. The glass door to the building had brass trimming around the frame and black letters in the middle that read UFCW. Underneath in small letters read United Food and Commercial Workers International Union Locals 175 and 633. I pulled on the brass handle and stepped into the building. Voices came from the end of the gray corridor. Yellowed newspaper articles and black frames hung on the wall. Loblaws, unionized. UFCW wins the vote. Zellers, united. The paint around the doorway of the office was peeling. A black poster with white lettering dangled from a thumbtack on the open door. The U in union is you, the poster said. Katrina and Simon sat around a round gray table on gray-blue chairs. Katrina drank coffee. Simon drank pop. A tall, fat man stood in front of a chalkboard. He wore a plaid dress shirt and brown corduroy pants. He had a full beard, glasses too big for his face, and a deep voice. He pointed to the words written on the chalkboard with a ruler. I guarantee your work environment will prove 100% with a union. He pointed to the word environment. I guarantee better wages. He pointed to the word wages. I guarantee you'll get benefits. He pointed to the word benefits and turned so he faced me. Well, looks like we got a latecomer. Come in, come on in. You don't have to stand at the door. Come on in and grab a seat. My name is Bill, and I'm your union rep. Help yourself to donuts and pop. Simon passed me the box of donuts. I took a rainbow-sprinkled donut and sat down. What's your name there, sweetie? Rosa. All righty. Well, Rosa, here's some union cards and pamphlets for you to read. Katrina and Simon wrote out a list of complaints. Why don't you read it over? Grab the pen and see if there's anything you'd like to add. Katrina slid the clipboard to me, but kept the pen. I read over the list of complaints and flipped through the blue, white, and green pamphlets. All righty. Is there anything you want to add? I can't think of anything else right now. All righty. Well, are you free this Saturday? I'm taking Katrina and Simon out for dinner. You're welcome to join us. Leave your phone number and address, and I'll call you tomorrow, and you can let me know. As I've told Katrina and Simon, we need 60% of the workers to sign union cards. That means we need about 27 to 30 signatures to get things rolling. The most important thing is to sign up as many people as you can. I heard Christina and Sarah honk. Okay, I'll try. I'm sorry, but I have to go. I felt Simon staring at me. I looked up and saw him roll his eyes. All righty, well, we'll see you Saturday. Thanks for coming out. You know, it always makes me proud to see young folks trying to better things for others. So you get as many signatures as you can, and we'll see you on Saturday. Katrina and Simon stared at the chalkboard. I walked out of the office holding a stack of union cards, pamphlets, and a rainbow-sprinkled donut. Christine drove up to me as soon as I stepped out of the building and honked her horn again. I saw my reflection in the car window and looked away. That Friday at the fruit market, I signed up 5 people. That Saturday, I went to Christine's boyfriend's cousin's house party. That Sunday, Simon called me at home. So thanks for gracing us with your presence on Thursday and stiffing us on Saturday. Look, it's just, I thought you were for the cause. Never mind. Did you get any signatures? Yeah, so far I got 5. Oh, okay. Well, I got 4 and Katrina got 3. Wow, this is cool. We're halfway there. Hey, listen, you know this is hush-hush, right? If Mike, Joanna, or even Frank found out, they'd probably fire us or start bribing people. They can't find out until we get the signatures. It would definitely hurt our cause. I mean, it would be catastrophic. Okay, Simon, I get it. And just so you know, if they do find out, Bill told me it's illegal for them to talk about it, or threaten people, or offer bribes, or any shit like that. So keep your eyes and ears open. I heard clanging pots and a high-pitched voice. Simon, get off the phone. I have to make a call. Listen, I gotta go, but keep working on those signatures. And remember, trust no one. Okay, Simon. Bye. By the next Friday, I had signed up 4 deli ladies, and Simon had signed up all 6 stock boys, 4 cashiers, the butcher, and the butcher's assistant. I went to work on Tuesday and saw Katrina and Frank talking near the reduced rack. Frank nudged Katrina, and she stopped talking. I walked into the back room. The punch clock read 3:59. Kevin put elastics around bunches of romaine lettuce. He looked up and ran over to me, still holding the lettuce. Hey, Rosa, you better hurry up and punch in. Why? Simon got fired this morning. He was 2 minutes late and they fired him. Can you believe it? 2 minutes. I'm serious. He was only late 2 minutes. Mike and Daryl walked into the back room. Kevin pretended to get more elastics. I punched my card in, put on my apron, and headed toward the bakery. Frank picked up a chocolate chip muffin in the bakery. I walked to the deli cooler to get a bucket of potato salad. Frank walked over and held open the cooler door. I moved the buggy full of beef jerky, schnitzel, and salami so I could get to the buckets that lay piled on top of each other. I stood on a box of bottled horseradish and noticed a centimeter of water sitting on the lids of the top buckets. I tugged on the handle of the bucket and watched the water spill as the bucket dropped onto the cooler floor. You know, nothing's going to change with the union. They'll be taking at least an extra $1 off a paycheck as a service charge. I dragged the bucket out of the cooler door and across the floor to the counter. I bent my knees and tried to lift it on top of the work counter. I got the bucket halfway up when it slipped and fell. Frank grabbed the bucket and swung it onto the work counter. Violetta and Eva walked by on the way to the deli cooler. If you guys think you're getting benefits, you're not. Violetta and Eva kept walking. I scooped potato salad into plastic containers. Look, I'm not allowed to be talking about it, but look at what happened to Simon. Where did it get him? A place in line at the unemployment center? That's where. Trust me, a union won't change anything. Mike walked into the bakery and stared at the display counter. Helena brought in some pencils that morning. They were white with green lettering that spelled CAW Union. Mike picked up one pencil, pinched either end with his thumb and index finger, and held it in front of his face. He looked at us, he looked at the deli ladies, then snapped the pencil and placed it on the counter. He picked up the other four pencils, snapped them two at a time, and dropped them in the garbage. The next day there was a sign above the punch clock. Staff meeting, lunchroom, 8 p.m. Last year, Frank talked to Mike about getting us a lunchroom, so Mike put a brown table with steel legs and three brown, orange, and yellow flowered vinyl kitchen chairs in the upstairs stockroom. There were two ways to get to the upstairs stockroom, a wooden ladder near the milk cooler, or stairs from the outside. 2 days ago, Mike added an olive green refrigerator, four more chairs, a microwave, a couple of coat hooks, and three lockers. I climbed the wooden ladder and squeezed through the boxes a Kraft salad dressing and rice-a-roni. Daryl told us to help ourselves to pizza, and there was pop, wine, and beer in the fridge. Frank sat behind Daryl on a box of canned apple juice holding a beer. The full-time cashiers sat at the table. The deli ladies sat on milk crates near the table, and the part-timers sat on the floor. After everyone settled down, Daryl cleared his throat. "Listen, you guys, I thought it would be a good idea to have a meeting and talk about what we's don't like about this place. That way, we can decide for ourselves if we's want a union, without these union guys coming in here and telling us what's good for us. Now Mike and Joanna got nothing to do with it. They're not here, so says whatever you guys got on your mind." He pointed to Katrina, who sat at the table holding a pen and shuffling paper. "Katrina here is going to write out what we says. We can pass it to Joanna and Mike and see what they can do. So just raise your hands and start." Adita raised her hand. "Go ahead. What's your name again?" "Adita." "Got that, Katrina?" Katrina nodded. "My English, no so good. But I told Ruja," she pointed to me, "to talk for me, for us. She knows." Adita smiled at me. So did Violetta and Eva. Daryl turned to me. "All right then, Rosa, let's hear it." I looked up and saw Katrina scribble. "Well, first of all, people in the deli never get breaks. Mike and Joanna say that it's because the deli isn't busy all the time, so they can sit when it's not busy." I swallowed, and I felt my face turn red. "Well, this just isn't the case. The deli's always busy. I mean, there's always something to do, even if there are no customers. They should get scheduled breaks and lunches. I also think their breaks should be paid." I felt hot and knew that my face was now completely red. Daryl stepped in. "All right, Katrina, did you get that? Scheduled breaks and paid lunches." Katrina nodded. "Anyone else?" I raised my hand. "Rosie, you got more?" "Yes, I wasn't done." Daryl motioned with his hand for me to continue, but Adita interrupted me. "Is okay, Ruja. I talk. You red like pepper." Everyone laughed. "We in deli work long time here. We work very hard. I here 5 years. Violetta here 8 years. And Eva 3 years. And still nothing. No money. We have family. Need more money. We work hard." Someone yelled out, "We all do." Everyone started talking at once. Kelly raised her hand. Yous guys, calm down," Daryl called above the din. "Little Kelly's got her hand up." Kelly glanced at the other part-time cashiers seated next to her on the floor. "It's just like sometimes, like Mike is really mean and yells at us for no reason." The other part-timers nodded. "It's just like he doesn't have to be so mean. We like don't even do anything wrong and he yells at us. Like last week, he made Annie cry. I was there, and like she didn't even do anything wrong." Daryl nodded and winked. "Sweetie, I agree with you 100%. Mike's got a bad temper. Katrina, you got that down?" Katrina nodded. Nelson raised his hand, and Daryl pointed to him. "Yep, Nelson, go ahead." Nelson complained about how cold it was in the back room in winter and requested a heater. Ruby complained about how hot it was in the bakery in the summer and requested a fan. Someone said the word benefits and health plan, and the room buzzed. Someone else brought up raises again, and there was a bunch of yas and damn rights. Frank cleared his throat. Daryl glanced at him. Calm down, you guys. Frank's going to get Mike and Joanna now, and let's see what they can do for us. Frank did not move. A door opened at the back of the lunchroom, and out came Mike and Joanna. No one spoke. Mike stood beside Frank. Joanna went to the fridge to get a glass of wine. Mike looked around. Hey, everybody, you like my new haircut? He turned his head, left and right. Some people laughed. Joanna made her way back to where Mike stood. Okay, well, you all know some people here think they would be better off with a union. Joanna and I don't think so. We are reasonable and fair people, and I think we can solve these problems without getting outside people involved. He looked around again and nodded at Katrina. So let's hear these complaints. Katrina listed our complaints, and Mike responded. Paid breaks and scheduled lunches. Scheduling lunches is your department manager's duty. We allow them the freedom to regulate it, so talk to them. As for paid breaks, it would be impossible to regulate without punching out. Continue punching out for breaks so people don't go over 15 minutes, but we won't take it off your check. People nodded. Raises. I knew this would come up. You'll all get raises. I will talk to the department managers about who deserves what. It might take a while to sort out, but I guarantee you will all get raises. More people nodded. Health plan and benefits. Joanna spoke. We don't even have benefits or a health plan for ourselves, so that should go to show you. I mean, we just can't afford it. We're a small business, not like these big chains. We just don't have the money for it. Katrina listed more complaints. Mike denied having a bad temper and kissed Joyce on the cheek. Joanna promised to buy Nelson a heater and Ruby a fan. We were all welcome to more pizza and beer, pop or wine in the fridge. Mike and Joanna put their arms around me and said how much they appreciated my hard work. I also saw them put their arms around Ruby, Kelly, Kevin, and Michelle. They gave each of the deli ladies a can of apple juice to take home. Mike apologized to Annie and explained that on that particular day he remembered being in a bad mood. A lot of the full-timers left. Katrina, Michelle, Joyce, Daryl, and Frank stayed. Some of the part-timers stayed to finish off the pizza. Others stayed to finish off the beer. And some stayed after the pizza and beer were gone to finish smoking the pot. The next day, Michelle had stitches on her forehead. She had fallen off her bike, riding home after the staff meeting. Daryl and Frank found her lying in the parking lot with one shoe on. Joyce found Michelle's other shoe in the fridge. Michelle puked outside the bakery door as Helena, the bakery manager, walked in. I see you had a big party yesterday. Helena rolled her eyes and turned to me. So, what happened, man? Is there a union or not? The union reps are coming in next Tuesday, and the vote's next Friday. Michelle gagged. I heard her vomit hit the pavement. Why doesn't she go to the washroom? What's the matter with her? I didn't reply, but I knew the reason. There was a lineup at the washroom this morning. Joyce carried a paper bag in her back pocket, just in case. Daryl didn't make it to the washroom and puked in a half-empty bucket of coleslaw. Michelle walked in with her hands on her forehead. Maybe I should go on workers' comp. She laughed and leaned against the counter. Helena threw her an apron. Well, union or no union, you have to work, so get to work or go home. The following Tuesday, I climbed up the ladder to the lunchroom. Michelle and Annie huddled around Kelly, who talked. You're not going to believe it. Like, you know Mike? Like, yesterday he came up to me and, like, said if we vote the union in, he's, like, going to close the store in the winter and only, like, open it in the summer. So we'll all, like, be out of jobs for, like, 4 or 5 months. Michelle covered her mouth with her hand. Oh, my God, Kel, do you think he can do that? Oh, my God, where am I going to get the money for our ski trip this winter? This sucks. Annie had her hand on her hip. "You guys, I don't think he can do that." They looked up and then huddled together in a tighter circle. Adita, Wheeletta, and Eva sat together on milk crates. Adita yelled out to me, "Ruja, what about this scab? I hear Katrina say if we vote in, they put this scab person to do our job. Is it true, Ruja?" "They're just trying to scare you. The union rep walked in, and Adita hushed me. "Hello, everybody. I'm your union rep. My name's Bill. How you all doing today?" Michelle, Annie, and Kelly took a seat on the floor. The full-timers stared at Bill. Wheeletta, Eva, and Adita stared at me. Bill handed out the blue, white, and green pamphlets and thumbtacked a white bristleboard to the wall with three words written on it in capital letters: "Environment, benefits, and wages." "All righty. Well, if everyone's settled down, we can get started. Now, first things first, I'm here to help you. So if you have any questions or comments, please raise your hand. Now let's get down to business. Now I guarantee you better wages. I guarantee you'll get benefits. And I guarantee your work environment will improve. Who here would like to improve their work environment?" Daryl sat on a box with his back to Bill. "What's good about improving the work environment if they don't let us through the door because they've got scabs doing our work?" Wheeletta and Eva started whispering. Kelly and Annie whispered to Michelle. Adita looked at me. Katrina put two sugars in her coffee and stirred. "Now hold on, folks. Hold on. No one said anything about scabs. We're here to work out a collective agreement." Daryl turned to face Bill. "Well, can yous guarantee we won't be replaced by scabs?" Daryl and Katrina laughed, and the stock boys snickered. "Now hold on, folks. I know where you're coming from. I know. My father worked in a factory all his life, and let me tell you what I know. I know that my father was definitely 100% better off when that factory got a union. Now who here doesn't want to be better off? Better wages and better work environment can do nothing but improve your work experience. Am I right?" Daryl turned his back to Bill again. Bill read through the pamphlets and pointed to the words on the white Bristol board. He concluded by guaranteeing us a brighter future and improved work experience. Bill gave us all his number and told us to do the right thing on Friday and vote yes. Most of the part-timers left, and the full-timers sat around the table talking. "Ruja, what this man say? I understand nothing. What is guarantee? And this?" She held out the pamphlets. "This is useless to me. All in English. Ruja, what you think? Good or no good, union?" "It's good, Adita." "But what about this scab? And other girls say they close store." "They're just trying to scare you." "Yes, this I understand." Adita sighed. "But you know, Ruja, sometime I think is same. Union, no union. Maybe different, but just same, you know?" Mike and Frank walked in. Frank held an order sheet and leaned on a box near the full-time cashiers, seated at the table. Mike pointed at boxes and stared at Adita, Wheeletta, Eva, and me. Mike walked toward us. Eva, Wheeletta, Adita, and I walked toward the ladder. They held the vote on Friday in the lunchroom. Mike and Joanna sat in chairs across from the voting table. We walked in single file. As I sat down to place my vote, I felt Mike and Joanna's eyes follow my hand as it checked off the yes box. I walked out of the lunchroom and rubbed my wet palms on my jeans. At 4 p.m., Mike posted a piece of paper above the punch clock. The results: 83% no, 17% yes.
That was A Heater and a Fan by Rosa Veltri. And that concludes Life Rattle number 1289. Arnie Ackman recorded Rosa Veltri reading her story. My name is Virginia Ashbery. Life Rattle is produced from Toronto and was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman.